Okay, so we're going to talk today about psoas, klovim, and other animals primarily, other smells. So from the Gemara we know that stam klovim, their psoa doesn't have a din psoa, because it doesn't smell so bad. But when you put the psoa of a kelev in the process of tanning hides, then it smells very bad and it has the din of psoa. What about other things? So does it mean anything that smells bad has the din of tzoa? So, and we know, especially from the Yerushalmi, but all the Rishonim quote, that anytime you have an animal whose tzoa smells very bad, it's usher, like a cat. So what about, but let's say there's something that smells very bad. Let's say a skunk. Sometimes happens, especially in camps. The whole camp will smell from the skunk. It's terrible. Ooh, P.U. What's the halacha? Can you make a bracha? So the Mishnah Berurah writes that you can. He says that this halacha, even, let's say, applies to Nevela Nisreches as the din of Tzoa, that's not any bad smell. That means something who smells bad, machmas ipush. So if you have spoiled food, so then dino kitzoa. But let's say you have itron, or some people think gas stations smell very bad from the gas, right? So even let's say everybody thought that. Or permanent markers, or paint, or other things that smell very bad. So the halacha is that those don't have a din of tzoa. It's just something similar to tzoa. Tzoa, it's from the degradation of the food that the bad smell emerges. And anything that machmas ipush, that the degradation causes it to smell bad, has the din of tzoa. But something that stam just smells bad, but is not of that sort, so that doesn't have a din tzoa. If you have a chemical factory, let's say, that produces a bad smell, it wouldn't have the halacha of tzoa. Now, when it comes to animals, so as we noted, that any animal that smells bad, the tzoa smells bad, is usher. Well, how do you define it? So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifkat and Chaf Gimel as well, I know, call Shadarach b'nei Adam with sta'er me'oso ruach. One would imagine that this is something that that changes from time to time and place to place. Could be that this is a very common shaila. What happens when you go to the petting zoo or you go to a farm or the like? So it's clear that, let's say, in the olden days, there the tzoa from cows, things like that, didn't have the din of the tzoa, right? There'd be no problem making a bracha in the presence of cow dung. But nowadays, you know, you go to the zoo and, you know, all the children say, pee, that's terrible, right? So, interesting shaila. Does that mean that you can't make the bracha at the zoo, right? Because everywhere in the zoo, we should talk about Karabiyavna, but we'll get there a little later. Okay. So does that mean that anywhere in, you know, in the zoo, in the petting farm, or farm, wherever you go, you can't make a bracha? So maybe. It's an interesting question, because the Mishnah Berurah says, Kol shederech derech bnei adam mitzta'er me'osu ha'ruach. Are people mitzta'er from the ruach of from cows? So it's true that the little girls say P.U. I don't know if that's enough to say it's derech b'nei adam l'tzta'er. It smells, we notice it, and since we're not used to that smell, so the little children say P.U. I don't know if it's derech b'nei adam l'tzta'er al kach. I'm not sure. It's an interesting shaila. Now, there's another interesting point, though, which is, as we said, it's clear from the Gemara that, let's say, the tzoa of kelev, tzoa of chazir, is okay. In Astan. Well, what if that changes? People start being mitzdayer from the kelev. So maybe you say, okay, then it's also. But the Mishnah Berurah says not that way. In the Bir Halacha, he says, you know what? Kimlu Chazal that the tzoa of the kelev is okay, and therefore it's okay regardless. Chazal no, there's a kasuv. No, that's not considered mitzvah. It's interesting shaila, but he assumes that it's fixed. Now it doesn't mean that he would think it's fixed by a cow, because cows the Gemara didn't say are okay. He assumes that when it comes to the kalev, since the Gemara says it's okay, then that's always okay. But
we didn't think we'd have a raya from silence at this pass, right?
No. Well, so again, there's no question that then the question is, what is this halacha to include? In other words, the halacha is that if we look, for example, in Siv Dalet in the Shulchan Aruch, that it says that tzos chazir kelev chazir. So then, if it's in the leather, that it's aser, and if not, it's okay. It's kedin so ashar behema chay ve'ov she'ein tzach lachar kemeha. So when it comes to shar behema chay va'of, the din is im yesh ben reach ra, then it's aser. So if you're right, so then there's no such halacha as that. In other words, all we would do is go through the examples that are mentioned in the Gemaras. So we have chatul and nemiya and whatever the examples are, chamor baderech, and we wouldn't need this halacha. In other words, there is this halacha. So I personally, I think the Mishnah Berurah is a little bit of a chiddush. But the Mishnah Berurah is saying that when it comes to the ones that Chazal say explicitly are mutter, like not the argument from silence, then we're meiko. That is not a reyach ra. Chazal were telling us, and maybe he says this, maybe a little diuk, because the Gemara is Meshabish the Braisa and doesn't just make the Ukimta Hafmayaskinan that it's a Kelav Sheshlo Reach Ra or something like that, if that were true. Maybe that's the Diyuk of the Mishnah. As I said, I think to me the Mishnah is a Chiddush. But that's the. So one way or the other, though, again, it's worth pointing out. It's not like, I don't think there's any reason to assume that. The smell of a cow changed over time. I think that our sensitivity certainly has changed because we're not around them. But a dainyesh lachkor if it's mitzdayer. Okay. Now, when it comes to Tzoas B'nei Adam, as we've been seeing, then that there's two dinim. There's a din of Tzoa, which is true outside of the Reyach. If you have Tzoas B'nei Adam, then let's say after you marchik Milo Einav, even if it didn't smell at all. And we see that, by the way, from Meiraglayim even more powerfully, because we know Midaraisa, Meiraglayim, is only has a din soa for the amachal aragwan, the stream when it's coming out of the body. Now, I don't think the smell changes. In other words, when it's in the stream, it smells bad, and then when it's pulled up on the floor, all of a sudden it changes the smell. The pshat, so why is one only asr midaraisa and one asr midrabanan? Answer is, for whatever reason, we'll get to that later, but something that has a shame soa, regardless of the smell. And that's for Tzoa, that's true always. Midaraisa, and for Meraglim, it's only true for the Kiluach. So there's a halacha of Tzoa, and then there's another halacha of smell. And let's say we who paskin like Rav Chista hold that you need Alad Amos Makam Shekal Areach, whether it's Divaisa or Rabbanan, we give the din of smell as the din of Tzoa. The din of the smell of Tzoa is the din of Tzoa. So what's the halacha for Behema? Do we have these two dinim at all as well? Or maybe when it comes to Behema, all we have is the halacha of smell. If it smells, then there's a problem. But there's no independent din of Tzoa. That's one question. In other words, is it that it's soa of a behemoth that smells has a din soa, or no? The reach of the soa of a behemoth that smells has the din soa. And so just to say, maybe not enough communities, but would there be a din of dalad amos mimakom shekal hareach? Would be sagi mimak she'eno meriach? Would you need melo enav? And things like that. Now, if we look at the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Dalad, he writes, Atzoas kele v'chazir, emnazan ben oros, marchike mehen, kimo mitzvah adam. So when it comes to Tzoas kele, let's say, so if nasan bahen oros, the halacha is, dino kimo tzoas bnei adam. It's clear from the Shulchan Aruch that in all respects, it's dino tzoas bnei adam. Now, there would be a din, for example, of melo enav. Right, if I see some soas kelev 100 feet in front of me with the oros, it's also, even though there's no way I can smell it. And likewise, in Sifhei, he writes, soas chamor haraka la'achar sheba min aderech, soas chatul v'nimiyah v'nivela v'nasrachas dinam k'tsoas v'nei adach. So again, when you have this, the soa of a chatul, and seen in Ketzos Bnei Adam, which would mean that, again, it's going to be usher in a lot of cases, even though you don't actually smell it. Meloinov is going to be usher. Now, we could still be misstopic. Maybe that's in the cases where it's not one of the cases where Chazal said it has a din soa, like the cat, like the soas kelev oros. But where we are saying that it is a din soa just because it happens to smell bad, right? Cow, we said, typically is okay. But the Shulchan Aruch says, in yesh ban reach ra, din tzoas bnei adam. Okay, just to answer my question. But so what would the halacha be in that case, right? Not in the cases where Chazal said, that there are, but we're just because we sense the bad smell. So as I just noted, that the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like it's also dino ketzos bnei adam, right? That's what he writes. Again, talking about the other animals, the end of Sif Dalad, v'yesh b'hem reach ra, dino ketzos bnei adam. That's the pesach mechaber. However, not everybody agrees. The Tur and the Magen Avraham thinks this is correct. Disagree. They say no, it doesn't have a din ketzos bnei adam. That's just over there. We just have this halacha that you can't say a bracha in the presence of that bad smell. But it doesn't have the din of tzos bnei adam like the halacha of marchikim k'melo enav. The Magen Avraham, I'll just read you a little bit from it. It's Sifkatan Yud Gemol. He writes, Ve'emes betur kasav li'al nami v'miyesh bareach marchik ad makom shichal areach. When it comes to the bad-smelling things, he doesn't say it's not like the Shulchan Aruch, who said, Dinam ketzos bnei adam. He just says the halacha is, Marchik ad makom shichal areach, but that's it. Once it doesn't smell anymore, you're okay. If it's in front of you, but and you can see it, but you don't smell it, or it's not arba amos b'makom shichal areach, but it's shichal areach, then that's okay. Ein tzarich l'harchik, that's his deal from the tour. The Linira, the Magen Avraham is talking to Dafka Ketani. It's right. Kevan she'en dinam ketzoa, ein tzarich l'harchik ad makom shichal areach. So it's very interesting that the Torah is saying, the Magen Avraham is saying, that there are, well, we'll say the Beis Yosef first. Beis Yosef is saying that when Chazal told us that you have to be you can't, any soa from an animal that smells bad is a problem. What Chazal were telling us is that any soa that smells bad is dino ketzoa. So there's all the dinam of soa. And therefore it's aser k'melo enav. Whereas what the Tur and the Magen Avraham are saying is no. That any time Chazal, anything that Chazal told you is a problem, so then dino ketzoa. So that applies to the tzos kelev, oros, and chamor haba min aderech, and chatul. But everything else If it smells bad, you're not allowed to say bracha where it smells bad, but it doesn't have dino ketzora. Now, what would be by nevela shucha, according to Magen Avraham? Would we say over there? So intuitively, I actually would have thought that was okay. When you have nevela shucha, and like we said, slab daf, nevela shucha, anytime you have, let's say, garbage, not so much garbage, like rotting, to, you know, rotting food and other stuff that smells bad. So what's the halacha? Is it, according to Magen Avraham, is it have a din soa, and therefore you have to go dalet amos, or no, it's just like the things that happen, the animal feces that happen to smell bad, where it's just achichal ha-reach. So here, interestingly enough, Magen Avraham argues it's aser. It has a din of tsoa. So you need makom dalet amos, makom shichal ha-reach. And that's because he, interestingly enough, he's saying that when that nevela turns shucha, when it's boiled, it was panam chadash shvalakan, and now it's full-fledged shala, as opposed to something that just happens to smell bad. So how do we paskin on the shayla? And it could come up a lot. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that it's a suffake. He quotes some that are that say, therefore, if you said Shema, you have to repeat, and if you say Shmona Esrei, you should repeat Vitaras Nadava. He thinks there ought to be that Machmir. Shema, you should repeat, Dereisha Shaila, but Shmona Esrei, you don't have to repeat. Now, it's a little late in time, but I'll point out that there's a machlokes between the Beis Yosef and the Rosh, slash Rabbeinu Yoda, how to read the Rambam, and it hinges on this point, if you read it carefully. The Beis Yosef understood the Rambam like himself, that the Rambam was simply saying that any time it smells bad, dino ketzoa. It doesn't smell bad, and dino ketzoa. The Rosh reads the Rambam differently, and therefore argues. Fine. Ayin Sham, sorry, if we had time, we would do it, but if you read the Rambam carefully and you read the Rosh carefully, you'll see that's what I think. See, that's what they're arguing about. Very interesting shaila brought up by the Tashbetz. It's already sort of alluded to in Tosfos. And the Tashbetz is quoted in the Magen Avraham, Sifkat and Yud Dalet. So just take a look quickly. The Tashbetz says like this. The Gemara, the Yerushalmi says that red chickens, Tarnagolim Adumim, or Tsoa Adum, I should say, is a problem. Tsoa Aduma from Tarnagolim. So what does that mean? Sorry, what does it say exactly? It says, yeah, Tarnagolim Adumim. So what, Tarnagolim Adumim, what's so bad about those? Rabbeinu Yonah says it means Tzoa Aduma. That smells very bad. The Rashba
said, all the Yishalmi says, Ruvad Adumim.
Ruvad Shad Adumim. Okay, so Yishalmi says an exception to the Tarnagolim rule is Adumim. So now the Kasha is, what does that mean? Shkayach, thank you. So the Talmid of Rabbeinu Yonah says it means Tzoa Aduma. That smells horrible. The Rashba says, Tarnagolim Adumim, English hens, which some say means turkeys. I don't think the Rashba could have said it means turkeys because I don't think they had turkeys at the time of the Rashba. There's machlokas, actually, whether they did, right? That was the shayla of Turkey when the Rabbanim in America asked the Rabbanim in Europe about Turkey, and they compared it to something that they had. So the question is that a good comparison. Anyway, but one way or the other, English hens, that's what the Bach calls them. So these types of red roosters or turkeys or whatever they are, but they must have bad smelling so the Tashbetz says, I'll tell you the pshat. It's talking about hens in Edom. What's so special about Edomian hens? The answer is that they feed them human food, and therefore, just like humans, smell the tzoa smells bad. So their tzoa smells bad, very bad. Therefore, it's aser. Okay. Now, what would that mean for us? So, a very interesting question. How do we understand this Tashbetz? Does that mean, and it's also the Orchos Chaim quoted in Beis Yosef, does that mean that if you have an animal that you happen to feed human food, then dino ketzoa, b'nei adam? So, if you take a look at the Pri Chadash, Sif Katan Dalet, over here in Sigma Ayin Tess, he says that's exactly the pshat. That's the pshat. Unbelievable. He says that's the that's what the Orchos Chaim says. Shekol davar shechiyuso bepas aser likros kineged so aso. And he thinks that's the Iker lahalacha. And he brings a raya, because we know that when it comes to a kid, when does his toe become aser? The toe of an infant isn't aser. What's the halacha? Kshiyachol lachol, because I is dagon, then marchikim etzo aser. He's saying, that says yachol over there, but he's assuming that means that once the kid starts eating dagon, then his toe becomes aser. Now, if you accept this prichadash, you could argue that many of the dogs nowadays, their toe is going to be aser. Why? Because many dog foods are full of grain. It's full of grain. So therefore, it would be aser. Do we have to be choshish for that? So first of all, the Mishnah Berurah says we don't pass them like this prichadash. A. B, it's a big jump. Maybe it's just by Tarnagolim that this is true. It's totally on human food. So again, the prichadash probably didn't say that sound that way. But in the Makor HaDavar, and especially if you think with the Mishnah Berurah, that there's this rule for dogs that they're always okay. But the biggest reason why it wouldn't make sense to be machmir for this is the reality is that the tzav of klavim doesn't smell typically, right? There's a, if you walk down Washington Heights, you'll see a plenty of tzav of klavim, and you don't smell it under normal circumstances. Could be if I had this neighbor that had like this sick dog, maybe they fed tzav of klavim. I don't know what it was. That like their tzav smelled terrible, this dog. But, you know, typically not. Okay, maybe if it's 100 degrees outside, then it starts being worse. But the stam, psoas klavim, doesn't really smell very bad. That's why you don't, gross, but it doesn't smell bad. It doesn't smell particularly bad. It's nothing like psoas bnei adam. And that's true. You know, plenty of dogs are fed human food or human-like food nowadays. Yes, Moshe, go ahead.
Yeah. The idea of animals being fed human food, haven't birds been fed breadcrumbs for a very long time?
I don't know, but the Tash Beitz at the very least says that when you have, that's exactly what, and the other Rishonim as well, that's exactly what the Gemara Yerushalmi is referring to. The Yerushalmi is talking about that's Gufa the Halacha. When you feed your birds breadcrumbs, then their Tzal is Aser.
It shouldn't be confined to Tanagolim.
It's not according to the Tash Beitz. That's his point, or at least according to Brichada, I should say. Mm. Okay, but as I said, we don't pass them that way, one way or the other, according to Mishnah Berurah. Okay, we'd have a couple of other interesting things we'll have to do a little more quickly. So another interpretation in the Rishonim that we do accept is that even though the Tarnagolim on their own are okay, typically, but Lul Shelahem is Aser. Why? Because that smells very, very, very bad. There's a machlokas ha'achronim, what's the din by a refes? And as I said, this also comes up by the zoo. Some, like the chayadim, are machmir by a refes. Others, like the kids of Shulchan Aruch, are mekel by a refes, only a lul. And there's a refes, like a pen that the cows live in, let's say.
A lul is a birdhouse?
What yes. So it's a chicken coop, but it's lopped off chickens. Okay.
Refes is a barn.
Yes. So anyway, Ayin Sham, the mission of the Bir Halacha has Vraz L'Khan Ulkan. So very relevant halacha for the 9 days is what's the halacha by sweat? I had a cousin who learned in Panovich, but for the 9 days he used to come to Chevron, because in Panovich nobody showers for 9 days. And he said that he couldn't, like, he said it's impossible to go to the Beis Medrash, especially after a couple of days, you know, Bnei Brak's not so cool in the summer. So Chevron, they take showers, at least more frequently than in Panovich. So what's Allah? Okay, so it would be Aser? Is it mutter to learn in Panovich? This is Maisim Kol Yom. You're sitting next to someone who maybe could use a shower and you smell it. Is it mutter to learn next to them or daven next to them? So more or less, the poskim are makel on the shaila. Some are makel just from Talmud Torah. Most are makel entirely. This is not this is, like we said before, this is not like Neveh L'Shrucha, this is not like Soa, this is Mutter. It's also a discussion in the postman about bad breath, sitting next to somebody who's davening and didn't brush their teeth in the morning. And also, this is a machlokas haposkin as well, though I think the pashtus is lakula.
Isn't the pashtus these are lower than the Afrashim Lefer?
What?
Isn't the pashtus that all these cases are a drop below the Afrashim?
Well, no, maybe they're like the Afrashim Lefer, in which case you couldn't daven for sure.
Well, you cannot,
don't learn. Well, if you thought it was a problem, then you'd have to figure out if it was mutter to learn and usher to daven and the like. You have to, that's a secondary question. But as I said, for the person who's doesn't smell good because of sweat, so then the poskim are make a leaving for brachos. So again, some are machmir, but I think the Chaim Kanievsky said, and this is certainly the other one, that we make a leaving for davening, even for brachos. This is not bichlal the type. This is not begeder soa. Even though again, it called soa like a different thing, like Mumali Zaya, if you touch them, it's considered yadayim a rasser, but that's a din mechiyon kapayim, it's not a din meyach. Fine. I'm just going to close with one last thing very quickly, which is just a fascinating, very broad shaila. Really a very klaliistic discussion. And the very last, Magen Avraham, Sifkaton Tes Vav. Magen Avraham says, Likros Kriyashma, sorry, yeah, Tes Vav, which is going on, Sif Tes, says, this is talking about someone who passes gas. So then we know the halacha is Re'ashem Lo'ikar, Tosmut Rabbanan, Tosmut Daven, Tzvik Brachos, Se Shema, but Talmud Torah is Mutter. Why would they make up for Talmud Torah? It's actually a debate, but Rashi writes, Afshar Latzeis V'Lekros L'Chutz. Okay, so what about if Lefize, Gam B'Divrei Torah, says Magen Avraham, Im Lo Med B'Yachid, V'Afshar Latzeis L'Lakom Acher, Aser Lo Mot. He says that how should we understand this Gemara? Really, there's two ways, right? This, what I would have thought is the simple way, is that lo gazru for Talmud Torah, and therefore, Talmud Torah is always mutter if someone else passes gas. Lo gazru. However, the Magen Avraham says differently. He says the pshat is, no, b'makom that it's yafshar, so that's when it's mutter. So why they usually to say everybody has to leave the base medrash, it's a problem. And why does he say only biyachid? Let's say you're learning biyachid in the base medrash. So he says no, there still it's mutter to stay in the base medrash. It's very important you saw it for our learning here because the Machzor Shekel explains because ikra limud haTorah hu bedibuk chaverim u pilpul talmidim. Even if you're learning base medrash, but it's not just even if you don't have a chavrusa, dibuk fine. But let's say you're learning mamish on your own, but somebody else in the room happens to pass gas. I'm not learning in a base medrash. Then I'm going to says you have to leave. Then he writes the afshar cave under lo gazru rabbanan ein sarach latzeis. No, they weren't gozer. And he says kemosh kasav rabbi Yosef l'inyan talis. What does it say l'inyan talis? So I hope soon we're going to study the sugya of covet of rios. But just a foreshadow. So the halacha is that if you're walking in a Carmelis, if you're walking in a Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos and your talis becomes possible, you have to take it off. And Chachmayim Tvunamei Neged Hashem. Machlokas exactly, but for now that's good enough. Okay, what if you're riding in a Carmelis? Then we say, Kavod HaBrios, it's mutter. Good. What about if you're walking in a Carmelis nowadays, right? So you have to take off your talis. So I would say, for sure, because the way we wear our talis, so there's no lack of kavod habrios if you take off your talis, because we have shirts and other things on. But I was talking about a case where the talis was like this main article of clothing. So it's very embarrassing to, you know, take off all your clothing. But nowadays, the halacha wouldn't apply. But he says, maybe, the makom shigazru gazru, makom shalom gazru gazru. So they said, talis and the carmelis, you don't have to. Same shaila as here, right? In other words, the Magen Avraham understands the klaliistic yisoid. When you find exceptions in Chazal, do we see them as localized, as based off of, I shouldn't say localized, based off of the reason, or codified within the law? That's the shaila. Unbelievable shaila. Now, if you would have asked me, ain't no dolmen. Over there, it's part, there's a rule. The rule is that if you violate the halacha, you can't violate the halacha. And there's another exception to the rule. Right? It's not like it was built into the law. It's just an application of the law. Whereas here, it's an exception to the rule. So Hashem Alekar, Reach Hashem Alekar is also, right? And then they made a special exception. How could you compare them? But the Magen Avraham gives you the impression that we, that this is a broad question, applies all the world. And there's a million questions that comes up, right? The Shiloh comes up. Someone's just asking me about apartments on a mezuzah. So the Gemara says rental houses don't need a mezuzah for 30 days. Shechter says, oh, but what's the reason? According to some Rishonim, it's because rentals, they could throw you out at any time. And therefore, nowadays, where the landlord can't throw you out, they could throw you out, I shouldn't say, any time. If the landlord's house falls down, he could throw out his tenant. So therefore, it's not really there. But nowadays, the landlord can't throw you out for any reason. So therefore, you have to put up mezuzah immediately. In other words, he's saying again, that's sort of a little quality stick, but he's saying, even though the Gemara codifies it as a rule, rental houses don't need for 30 days. And the Gemara doesn't even say this reason, but we have to look at the reason and apply it that way. Anyway, these shilohs come up all the time. And it's a really very interesting topic, but we don't have any time further to discuss it. So have a good Shabbos. And Beis Hashem will pick up on Sunday with who knows what.
I mean, is that the same shiloh as the one we started with? What about dogs? Was that not in?
Possibly. Yes.
And then the mere fact that he goes back and forth about, like, is he? I thought the Shabru says that Chazar Kobeya that doesn't
have its
smell.
Yes.
But you don't need that, just a takana that it's.
Yeah, okay. That could be. Again, that would be even more extreme, that they were misaking on these animals. Right.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was very plain of a mistake.
Not the Mishnah.
The Mishnah is saying that
Magen Avraham here. Yes. Right. But yesh l'chalek. But correct. In other words, I would have also thought.
Bad news. It's not a really good news. It's me a bad news.
Right. Yeah. Yes. It's very similar and possibly the identical question.
But I'm saying it sounds like the Mishnah maybe is not. It's definitely assuming not. It's a local reason.
Over here. Right. So I don't remember. The Mishnah Berurah quoting, yeah.
Good.
Okay, good. Have a good Shabbos, Moshe.
And have a good Shabbos. Question, quick question.
Yeah.
A tannery is noted for its particularly foul odor. Right. Even if there's no psoas clothing there, does that have the din of psoa or?
What would be by a tannery if it didn't have psoas clothing? That's your shiloh?
Yeah.
It depends where the foul odor is coming from. But is really the answer. And I have no idea what the answer is. It could be that it comes from the rotting of the flesh that's connected to the hides, in which case it would be like Nevela Srucha. So it would be also like Tzos Klavim. In other words, I don't know. If it was only Aser because of like the chemicals that are put on the hides, then maybe it would be different. But I suspect that it's a problem because even if it's not for the toast club, and it probably relates to the flesh on the hides and things like that, which would be equivalent, I would imagine, to the Mela Srucha. But I don't know the receipt. Okay, Shkayach.
Okay. Sunday is 3:35 as usual?
Probably. I'll try to let you know otherwise.
Okay. Thank you very much for the share. Have a very good Shabbos.